Good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. I don't know why it is. I wear a tie every Sunday. But it seems like every time I preach, the devil tightens the noose on it and pulls it up. Pastor Lawson tries to choke me to death. You'll have to forgive me if you see me trying to shake it loose every now and then. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6, and we'll be beginning at verse number 6, and we'll read down through verse number 10. Luke chapter number 6, begin at verse number 6. The Bible says, "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath, they entered into the synagogue and taught there, And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing, is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it? And looking round about upon them, all he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, once again for the privilege to be here tonight. I thank you for the privilege to open your word. God, you know I cannot feed your people in myself. Lord, it's up to the Holy Spirit to do that. I asked you tonight, Lord, to bind up the evil one. God, to let him have no place here tonight. I plead the precious blood of Jesus over this message. God, help us, Lord, tonight to be a help to your people. The days are evil and wicked, and things seem to be going just upside down in this world. But God, we can't control that. That's in your hands. All we can do is pray and do what you've called us to do. Now, God, bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it feels a little tight here tonight, so we'll get started, and if we have too much interference, we'll stop and pray again. The scripture we just read together tonight is a very familiar scripture. Most of you that's been saved for some time, you've read that and heard it preached on unlimited amount of times. It's about a person who had a problem. Now, we've all got problems, amen. I said we all got problems, amen. All right, now it sounds like the truth's coming out. And if I was to ask you all to meet me at the end of the service up here at the altar, and I wanted to take a list of all your problems, I'd say I wouldn't get out of the house of God until sometime tomorrow night probably. We've got problems. But this man had a special problem. He had a problem that he in no way could fix himself. There was nothing humanly or in his own self that he could do to correct it. We find the man must have been a devout man because we find him at the synagogue. We find him at the house of God. In other words, he is one of the church folk. But he had a problem, but the problem wasn't keeping him from the house of God. So he came to the right place with the problem. In verse 6, we find the man must have been devout, not only devout, but he was a man that worshiped God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to come to the house of God to worship God with the problem that he had. That's a serious problem. I've heard it said that perhaps he was a stonemason at one time, and that his hand had been used to make a living, and so it hindered him from making livings. And as a plasterer, I know what it would be to lose the use of your hand. I've always told the men that work for me, I said, take care of your body. Take care of your arm. Take care of your hand. For without your hand, you can't do the skill that God gave you. So I understand how he might have felt. Folks, the Word of God said he had a withered hand. Now, I don't know, maybe everybody knows what a withered hand is. Maybe I'm ignorant, but I always like to dig into something and find out what I'm reading. Since God brought that to the forefront, since God mentioned that, I wanted to go in and make sure I fully understand what a withered hand was. Well, first of all, it means to be dry, a part of the body shrunken or withered. That means it at one time was strong, at one time was healthy, that one time held strength, but now, for whatever reason, it had lost its ability to have strength. And I don't know, maybe some of you have broke bones like I do. If my body was looked at under a microscope, it'd look like I'd been hit by a train. I broke about everything. Somebody has an operation, I usually tell them how to come out. And so he had a bone that was withered. And when you go to healing up with casts, you'll find that part that you didn't use, it gets smaller. And it gets weaker, and it takes a while to get it back to where it was. It means it's dry, that it's shrunken, that it's withered. It means to become without sap. Have you ever noticed a plant that when it doesn't get what it needs to be healthy, when it doesn't get watered enough or given enough plant food, it begins to get withered. It dries up. It means to not only become dry, it means to lose force or freshness. Now, a good synonym of the word wither means atrophy, emancipated, wasted. It means to lose liveliness. In other words, it just about gets to where it's totally useless to you. Something can't be withered unless it first was healthy at one time. It can't happen. Now, as a preacher, I'm often asked, what in the world is happening now? You preachers, you get that a lot. I have people that, as far as I knew, they weren't even saved, but they still want to know what in the world is going on. What's happened to the United States of America? What's happened to the church house? What's happened to the people of God? What's happened to the power of God in the lives of God's people? They say, preacher, what's happened? How did it get this bad? You ever wonder that? I mean, this ain't the place I grew up in. I grew up in a blessed time. I didn't know how blessed it was. And I'm thankful for it. But things have gotten completely ridiculous in this world. Now, I'm also asked, why is brother and sister so-and-so so sad? Well, I can make a guess at that. I can pray about that, but I'm pretty sure I have an answer to that tonight from the Lord. Well, I think the answer to all those questions, why, how come, what happened to the church, what happened to the people of the church, what happened to the government, what happened to the world, and why are we at the point we are now where it seems as if the scriptures are coming alive to us. People are worried about that. I told my wife, I'm not worried about what's going on. I pray about it. But I told her, I said, I'm pretty sure God has it all under control. Amen. And the more it escalates, the quicker it looks like you and I are going to make it back to home. We're finally going to get out of this sin-sick world with all its filth and all its vileness and all its hatefulness and all its death, and we're about to go see God. Well, that's where I've been wanting to go for a long time. Huh? Amen? I've been wanting to see him ever since he spoke to my heart and told me he loved me and told me he died for me and told me he redeemed me and told me that he wants to make me his son and set me free from what I was. So you'll just have to forgive me if I don't get too tore up about this. If there was a button up here, and I've told you this before, and it would say eject into heaven, you'd be leaving the confines of this earthly place that you're sitting now. I'm ready to go. So he has a withered hand. And I think, just like in the text, a lot of God's folks, a lot of the lost folks, what has happened to them is they've lost their sap. Yeah. Now, I got into something there a little, about 2 years ago, that my granddaddy had grapes. My granddaddy had a farm, so I got farm animals. And since I love to eat the grapes granddaddy had, I've now got into grapevines. And I noticed something about grapevines. You have to prune them, and sometimes they get broken, and it takes a little while for that vine that's broken, that part that's broken off, to wither. Looks good for a little while. Then it starts to look a little peaked. Then it keeps going, and it keeps going, and it keeps going until that part of it is dead. And there's not much we can do when we lose the sap there. Let's see how the Lord takes care of this problem. The first thing Jesus says to this man who's came to the house with a problem he has no ability to correct himself, he says, rise up. He says, now, rise up. And he says it right in front of all the so-called religious crowd that was in there that after all was waiting for him to make a mistake so they could bring it against him. Well, they didn't trick Jesus. He said, rise up. He says, don't stay where you are. Now, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what problems you have. Some of you tell me, some of you don't. I look at your faces. I'm a face watcher. I see when people seem to be happy, and I surely see when they are most assuredly looking like they're sad. And I don't know what the problem is, but Jesus looked at this man, and he said, don't stay where you are. I'm here tonight. I'm here, he said. I'm in the midst of this place, and I can take care of what you cannot take care of yourself. So he says, rise up, don't stay where you are. And then he says something that I think we find all throughout the Bible. He says, stand. I believe the Bible says when you've done all you can do, stand. In other words, don't let it cripple you. Don't let it keep you down. Don't let it keep you where you are. It says to stand up and stand on your feet and look to Jesus. That's where the answer is. Now, what did the man with the withered hand do? Did he stay sitting where he was the way he was? No, Brother Lonnie, he didn't do that. You know what he did? He stood. And he looked to Jesus. And you know what that tells me? When you stand and you obey Jesus and you do what he said and you're in his presence, you can most assuredly rest yourself on the promise that things are fixing to change. There's a blessing coming. So he says, stand. He says, get up. Don't stay where you are. He's fixing to get connected to Jesus. Isn't that what you need? Isn't that what I need? Isn't that what the world needs? Isn't that what the lost crowd needs? Isn't that what the Democrats and the Republicans and the Independents? Isn't that what Putin needs right now? He needs to get connected to Jesus. Nobody lives right. Nobody has joy. Nobody knows what they should do with a clear mind until they meet Jesus. You say, well, Brother Tom, do you think that's the only answer to every problem in the world? I surely do. I surely do. I found it the answer to every problem I've had. You know, I used to think I was pretty tough, Brother Lawson. Young, strong. Ran track, lifted weights, played football, got out of that, became a foreman. I mean, I thought I had it all worked out. But you know what happened? I wasn't happy. For all the things I could do and all the things I had done, I couldn't find happiness, brother. You know what happened? Jesus looked at me when I was sitting in my misery one day. He said, don't sit there. Arise. He said, stand. He said, I'm here. Come to me. You said, what did you do, Brother Tom? What would you have done? I rose. I didn't stay where I was. I stood up. And then I reached for Jesus. How many times do God's people in the house of God have problems simply because they don't reach to Jesus? I've never reached to Him. Brother, have you? I've never reached to Him one time When I reached out my hand that he closed his and wouldn't take it. No. No. It don't matter how bad I was, what place I was in, what the circumstances were. When I reached for him, he reached down and got hold of my hand. And he says, come to me. Well, what happened, Brother Tom? I got born again. I got saved. I got sanctified. I got set apart. I got a new life. I got a new father. I got the things that I didn't have as a youth. And I was set free, and he's never left me. Not one single time in the wilderness of my life that I couldn't reach out to him and be made whole. Now, if you walk on top of the mountain all the time, I'm glad for you, and I wish you'd give me the formula for that. But I find sometimes I get a little dry, don't you? Sometimes I get a little weak. Sometimes I get a little wasted. And sometimes I'm not efficient in what God called me to do. What do you do? I do what I did the first time, he said. I arise and get up from the mess I'm in. I stand up and I look up and I reach out my hands to Christ. You know what he does? Well, Brother Tom, he must bend you over and just wear you out then, right? You're a preacher. No, 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 no. You know what he does? Just come over here a minute. Now, I'm 67 years old. You say, you don't need to be sitting on your daddy's lap. Y'all try. Amen. Just sit right here. Yes, sir. All of a sudden, he wraps those arms of compassion and love around me. Yeah. There ain't nothing in the world that's entering into the place where I'm at with my father. Yeah. My dad. You know what he does then? He said, I've got the answer, son. He said, we're going to fix it. My daughters think I can fix anything. I hope none of them ever gets some problem where they need an operation, because I won't be able to fix that. They bring it to me. You say, what do? I either fix it or I get it fixed. So I guess in a way I'm a fixer. And that's what we do with the Lord. He gets connected to Jesus. He arose. He stood forth. And he got a blessing on the way when he did that. Now in John chapter 15 and verse number 5, a very familiar verse of Scripture, Jesus says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You know, I came out of a semi-retirement, I guess, and started doing some plastering. You know, and there's a man I've done plastering all over the country for, special type of plaster he likes. And he always brags on me, Brother Lawson, and I appreciate that. But he said, here's the master. He said, it takes a skill to do this. And the first thing I told him, I said, oh, no, 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 no. I said, it's the master that puts the skill in my hands that does it. And he was a Christian, he understood it. So when we're connected to the vine, then the sap's flowing, right? The grapes begin to bud. And after you've done a little trimming, you've shaped it up, and they start going in the direction they should. And before you know it, Brother Lawson, I still hadn't got over there when I was a boy. I go to eating those big grapes. I founder myself on. Because my grandfather allowed me to do it when I was a boy. But it's because the grape, the vine, is connected to the branches, and therefore everything is just staying full of sap and full of strength. And I love to watch it grow. Don't you think God likes us to do that? I can't do anything for God other than to love Him and to praise Him. And to stay connected to Him so that I can bring Him pleasure as He watches me grow. You say, Brother Tom, have you ever got away from Him? Oh, yeah. I've got to where my branch that I was connected to Him with, it got broke. But it didn't get broke off. You know what I found out about that? You can take a branch that's still connected enough, and you can bind it, and you can put it up, and Brother Lawson, it starts to get sapping again. Next thing you know, you can't tell anything was ever wrong with that. It's just as good as the ones that never got broken. So we have to stay connected to Jesus. That's the secret to getting a blessing from God. First of all, don't stay where you are. If you're not happy, why would you stay where you are? If you don't feel like you can hear from God, why would you stay where you are? God's not trying to stay away from you. Something has caused you to get separated from the vine, and because of that, you can't feel Him. You can't have peace. You can't have strength. You can't have joy, and you cannot be successful and fruitful in what God called you to do. Now, I've watched a lot of people here in this church go through some terrible sicknesses. You know what? I'd go up and I'd try to speak to you. And I'd try to encourage. You know what happened? Before I knew it, they were blessing me sideways. How were we able to do that? I talked to a lot of lost people. So how are things? And boy, that's sometimes not the right thing to ask. I mean, it's woe is me, it's somebody's fault, it's everything, but the fact that I done it myself and got into it. And these people that had cancer, that had operations, that were sick, they stood up and praised Jesus to me. You know what? A lot of them are healthy now because they stayed connected, held on to the vine. Until the sap got back where it was. And they blessed me sideways. That's what will keep you in the service of the Lord. Now I want to ask you something. How do you get disconnected from the vine? I mean, what happens? What separates a Christian from the Lord? Well, sometimes it's simply a circumstance. But I found out that circumstances change. As a matter of fact, they change more often than they don't. Everything that I ever used to worry about and I used to fret about, it came to pass. I like that verse of Scripture. And it came to pass. Now, it can come to pass taking a long time. It can come to pass with a lot of misery. Or you can just praise Jesus while it's coming to pass. And before you know it, it's already gone. Amen? Now you say, now you can say that you're standing up there looking healthy. I'm not near as healthy as I look. My first doctor when I got Parkinson had me about bedridden. I prayed to Jesus. I held on to Jesus. I didn't make an accusation to Jesus. And I'm not bragging on me. It's because I held on to Him. I reached for Him. You know what He did, sister? He got me the right doctor. And the right doctor done away with all the crazy things that had been done to me and adjusted my medicines. And guess what? I wasn't in bedridden almost anymore. Matter of fact, I was able to keep going to Haiti. I was able to keep preaching God's Word. I was able to get up and start doing things around the house. I even started up a hobby of making knives. That's unusual for people to have Parkinson. Amen? Listen, we just need to hang on to Him. You want to finish a course God called you to run? How many people did God call to run a course in here? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you need to find out why. God's got something for everybody to do. He called me to preach and be a missionary. He called some of you to be prayer warriors. He called all of you to give out the gospel and witness to the lost. When you get to where you can't move, He called you to be a prayer warrior. But you can't do it, you can't finish it if you're disconnected from God. The devil will make you think you're a lot worse than you really are. He will. If you listen to him, he'll put you in bed quicker than a bad doctor. I guarantee it. He'll put you sideways out of the ministry. I've been in Haiti, and he'd say, well, look what's going on. I say, let's look and see what's going to go on. and we pray. I've told y'all, you just have to stay connected to Him. Well, when those voodoo priests stand up and they try to have a service to counteract our service, you'd have one later on night, they'd have one. You'd have one, they'd have one. And I've told you the story, but I like to tell it, and I'll do it until you rub me off. One night they kept beating and kept beating and kept beating. I mean, you just couldn't get any rest. And I got up the next evening, and there stood a voodoo priest up on the thing. He was trying to intimidate God's people. Now, I'm nothing, but God is. And I said a simple prayer. I said, God, I said, tonight, after the service, I said, can we have some peace and quiet up here on the mountain? So we had the service. God settled in. In Haiti, they get a little excited. They were dancing. And I even found out Brother Chuck Wally and I had some rhythm at that time. We was basically. I mean, but we was. They was walking around. We hadn't built the church there. It's just a big bank there with a little bit of concrete. And we were walking near the edge. And if I fell off that thing, I'd have rolled all the way down 100 feet to the bottom. God gave me happy feet, and I was able to do it. And I mean, some people got born again, and the power of God settled in there. And then we ended the service, and God gave all those people. In Haiti, they don't drive to church. If you fly over it in a little Cessna, you'll find out it looks like a bunch of little ant trails where they walk. They walk a long distance. He gave the folks enough time to get to their home. And then he turned loose one of the biggest rain-busting, thundering storms I ever seen in my life. And we were sitting there in the dry, and I said, thank you, Lord, it's quiet. Another time they tried to do it. All we wanted to do was take the Jesus movie up on the mountain, and we carried a Honda, inverter up there, and we hooked it up and strung lights all over the place, and the people heard the gospel of Christ in that movie in their own language. Well, you know them, they tried to counteract that. But we hung on to Jesus. You know what happened? They built the fire up there and tried to overdo what God was doing. But we found out something. Wood burns up, Honda generator keeps it cooking. You just have to trust Jesus. The devil's make you see it wrong. Now, maybe you're here tonight and you don't feel the presence of God anymore. Stand up, arise, and reach for Jesus. He's not hiding it from you. He said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world has. He said He would give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. You say, well, I can't do what He called me to do. You're right, you can't. You can't, but He can through you. My wife probably gets tired of me. She's been hearing these stories for 40 years, I guess, or pretty close to it. When God called me to preach, I said, I don't like to stand up before. But you think Moses had excuses, Brother Van? I beat him by a big, long list. He kept working on me, and I kept fighting it until I could not sleep. I tore the bed covers off. I could not get peace. And I told him one more time, I said, Lord, I can't preach. And he said, I know you can. He said, I tell you what. He said, you stand and I'll preach. And he said, we'll get through this. But Lawson, he did what he promised. Now, I'm not the best preacher in the world, but he is. I found out even with my mumble jumble thoughts, He can take them and help people with it. It's not about me, it's about Him. Just hang on to it. When He calls you to do something, just grab a hold of Him and hang on. Might not be a smooth ride, but it'll be a very interesting one, and you'll enjoy it. Amen? Hallelujah. You know what's wrong with some of you Christians tonight and what gets wrong with us preachers? Somehow or another, we get disconnected from the vine. That's simple. And we can't have no power, no sap. We lose our sap. Can you tell when a Christian's losing their sap? You know, two or three weeks before, they're coming in here just as happy as they can be. Ready to shout. And then they get a little disconnected. And next thing come in, how you doing? I'm all right. When their face says otherwise, that shine's not there. That strength that you see them's not there. And you ever notice when a person loses their sap, Brother Lawson, this is what they do. They stop walking like this. And they age right on the spot spiritually. Until they've had enough and they arise and they stand up and they grab a hold of Jesus. You know what happens? Joy again. Peace again. Strength again. Direction again. A movement in their soul that they can't turn loose of. Now it's quiet. I don't know whether I'm preaching good or the devil's trying to interfere, but I'm trusting in the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, and I'll close here just in a minute, not a long message. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter number 47. And we'll begin reading there, and then we'll just talk on it for a minute. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me, and about the way without unto the other gate by the way that looked at the eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his head went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. You say, now how can that help me? You ever know some people fishing get in the water, and they're not sure how they can swim, brother? They stick a toe in there first, don't they? And after they see that that's not too cold or uncomfortable, you know what they do? They wait on that for a little bit and get about ankle deep. That don't sound like much, but if you can't swim, that's how you start swimming. That's what takes place. And then it says, again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Some of you are still stuck at ankle deep. You're wanting to swim, but you ain't got much courage right now. And some of you are wanting to get in with the Lord, and you've waded out a little bit further to the knees. And you're finding out the water's not knocking you down, not causing any problem whatsoever as you work with the Lord. And then you know what happens? It says, and he measured 1,000 and brought me through. And you know what this person done? He found the waters were up to the waist. Now, I don't know about you, when I first started swimming, it was tiptoeing, and then it was going to my knees. And once I got to the waist, I was getting a little bit more confident about what we were up to. You know what happens next here? It says, after he measured 1,000, and there's a river that could not pass over, for the waters were risen. So what did they do? They couldn't walk through that no more. What did they do? Waters to swim in. You find waters to swim in when you reach out and you grab a hold of a vine and you hang on. If you'd have told me years ago, Brother Lawson, that I'd have got to go to Haiti or see the things that God's done, I'd have told you you're out of your mind. I saw some people that knew me when I was a young man, and as many young men were, I said, I got saved. They looked at me because they knew me well when I was growing up. I got a little bit more confident. I said, I got born again. I didn't just get saved. I said, I got saved. I'm all over. I said, I love Jesus. They looked at me, and finally one of them had enough courage to tell me, so of all the people I thought would be called to preach the word of God, after I told them that, he said, you'd have been the last one. I said, ain't God good? I said, all I did is just grabbed a hold of the vine and hung on. God will do the same thing for you. Listen, we're in the end times. There was a young man that was working with me Saturday, and somehow we got to talking. I guess God arranged it about end times. He said, "I believe that will happen in my lifetime." I said, "I'll be surprised if you're here next week." I said, "That's how close I think it is." Look, folks, people need Jesus. They do. They need the Word of God. The time for you and me to work is drawing to an end. Where are you right now? Are you still ankle deep? Well, that won't refresh you. Knee deep? Getting a little better. Waist deep in service and loving the Lord and telling people about God? Well, that's even better. But won't you just jump in now? Take the plunge. Become a nut like Brother Tom. These people think I am off my rocker. And you know what I say? I'm good. I love Jesus. If you love Jesus, people ought to know you love Jesus. If people are lost, they need to know that you love Jesus and that Jesus loves them. If they're young Christians and they're just at their ankles and somebody needs to come along beside them with some fire in their heart and some juice in their veins and they need to disciple them and help them to get into the swim. You say, "Boy, Brother Tom, you don't usually preach this simple." Well, I'm a simple man tonight. If you don't understand it, then here's the problem. People will not come to Jesus if you don't look like Jesus is worth the trip. They don't know how to swim until you get them started ankle deep and start leading them on along the way. Now, you just got a little time. We're going to meet Christ at the Bema Seat. Well, it sounds like a big word. That's about the end of all my big words in the Bible. When I made you a knife, I had to carve that in. I had to look it up to make sure I wasn't messing the thing up. What are you going to do? You going to stay ankle deep? Waist deep? Won't we do just like the Apostle Paul did? Let's fight a good fight. Let's finish the course God laid for us. Amen. And you know what we'll find out? There's a reward waiting for us in heaven. Although, you know something? The only thing I want when I get to heaven is Jesus. I know everybody, the Bible says we're going to get a mansion. If he just gave me a pup tent in his backyard, that'd be all right with me. As long as I could meet Jesus. And I'm going to. Now, if you're here tonight and you're lost, not satisfied just like I was when I was a young man, won't you rise up, stand up, and reach out to Jesus? You know what happened to the withered man when he did that? When he stretched forth his hand to Jesus, he looked down. Now, I don't know whether that story about being a mason was right. But I bet he was sitting there, strength, power. Everything was made whole again. That's what Jesus asked you tonight. Will thou be made whole? Do you want to be closer to Jesus? Do you want to lead people to the Lord? Do you want to glorify Him in your life? Well, you know what you got to do? You got to arise, not stay where you are. You got to stand up and reach for Jesus. Is that so hard? That little girl right there could do that, couldn't she? She can arise, stand up, reach for Jesus. It's that simple. It's all here. What do you want? That's a simple message, I know. But if you'll take it and try it, I found it to be a good one. It's good instruction. And if you don't understand this, then come on by the house and we'll cover it again. Be glad to. All right, now I'm going to pray with you and turn over to the pastor. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. God, we stay sad. We dry up. We lose our joy. We lose our peace. We lose the comforts that you promised us simply because we stay where we are and we don't reach out to you. God, I pray tonight for all the people in here that are hurting or maybe feel like they failed you in service. And God, think you can't use me more, help them, Lord, not to stay in that frame of mind. I ask God that you help them to arise, stand up, and reach out to you. God, they'll get filled with the Holy Spirit of God again. God, people will see it, and Lord, people will come to Jesus. When God's people reach out to Jesus and obey him, the lost come to Jesus. I've seen it, Lord. Now, God, you know the needs of everybody here tonight. I ask that you touch them, that you help them, that you strengthen them. God, times look bad, but it's all an attitude, like I preached a few weeks ago. As I see things get worse, I see heaven getting closer. And I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.